Welcome to Pluralsight's Meet the Author podcast, where every week we have the opportunity to chat with our authors about their latest course releases and get a behind-the-scenes commentary on current technology. This is all brought to you by Pluralsight, hardcore developer training.
Hi, this is Fritz Onion with another episode of Pluralsight's Meet the Author podcast. Today I'm speaking with David Chappell about his new course, Cloud Computing, Seeing the Big Picture. David is principal of Chappell & Associates in San Francisco, California. Through his speaking, writing, and consulting, he helps people around the world understand, use, and make better decisions about new technology. David has been the keynote speaker for more than 100 conferences and events on five continents, and his seminars have been attended by tens of thousands of IT leaders, architects, and developers in 45 countries. David, it's great to talk with you today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Fritz.
So we're talking about this new course that you've created, David, and you decided to break this course up into three different topics on cloud computing. You start off with software as a service, then you move into cloud platforms, and you finish up with private clouds. I thought it might be good to get some perspective from you on why you decided to split things up this way. So what was your motivation to address cloud computing with these three specific topics?
Well, the big goal was to be clear about the space as a whole. People so often look at cloud computing in terms of three similar acronyms, SaaS, PaaS, and IaaS. And in fact, I talk about all those things, but I've come to believe that's just not the best way to think about the big picture of cloud computing. The reality is that the scenarios in which we use different aspects of cloud computing, and even the people who care about those scenarios, break down into the three categories I've used in this course: software as a service, cloud platforms, which really means public cloud platforms, those offered by external providers like Amazon, Microsoft, and so on, and private clouds, which largely means cloud technology in your own data center. That breakdown, I think, best reflects how people use these technologies and how people ought to think about them going forward.
Great. Now, I know one of the reasons people are really watching this course, and it's rising in popularity as we speak, is trying to make that decision as to whether they should begin taking advantage of all these cloud computing resources that we have available now. Perhaps you could give us some insight into how you see people making this decision and how people are actually adopting cloud computing.
Well, this is really interesting. With so many new technologies, adoption happens for technical reasons. So for example, you might adopt jQuery because it makes your life easier for writing JavaScript code. Mm-hmm. Great. In cloud computing, I most often see adoption happening for economic reasons. The technologies of the cloud, as seen by developers especially, commonly aren't that different. There are some things I can do in cloud platforms, for example, that I really can't do very effectively on premises in my own data center. But there aren't very many. By and large, people adopt cloud technologies for economic reasons. They adopt them because they can do the things they could do anyway, but just more cheaply or more effectively or more economically in some larger sense of that term. And so the course actually spends a lot of time on the pros and cons of the different aspects of cloud computing from this perspective, not a technology perspective. Because in my experience, overwhelmingly, it's economics that drive the cloud decision.
That's a really interesting distinction to make. Now, I know we're going to get questions on software as a service from the perspective of, you know, is this really something new? What's so different about software as a service, say, from hosted applications that we've had, you know, for quite a while now?
Yeah, that's a really good question. People also ask, well, wait a minute, back in the late 90s, wasn't there this boom of app service providers that tried to do the same kind of thing and it failed miserably? Right. How come this SaaS idea has taken off today? A big part of the difference is that with SaaS, overwhelmingly, vendors are offering what are called multi-tenant applications. Applications where lots of customers share the single instance, the same copy of the application code, and commingle their data in some ways. While this does raise security concerns, which the vendors largely address, it also makes the cost so much lower for the vendors, cost of admin, cost of update, and so on. And so as a result, what you're seeing here is that SaaS applications can offer real benefits, such as much lower cost, that just aren't possible with conventional hosted applications. And one more thing, the pricing model is also different than the hosting world we've seen before. In the hosting world, often a company bought a license to an app and ran it someplace else. In the SaaS world, almost all the time, at least most of the time, the SaaS providers are giving us per user per month pricing. And so economics are different, costs are different. Once again, my earlier point, these decisions are driven by money more than by technology.
Now, one of the, I think, probably most interesting parts of the course, at least for me, was your survey of all the cloud vendors that are out there today, or the most popular ones, and sort of what services they provide and how they contrast and compare with each other. Could you give us a little perspective on that? Like we hear about Amazon all the time as one of the leading cloud vendors and in many ways the pioneer of this new model. But where are we today? What sort of options do we have? And you know, who are the big players and how are they fitting together?
Who are the big cloud players depends on which aspect of cloud you're thinking of. Mm-hmm. If you think of cloud applications, SaaS, then people like Salesforce come to mind. Microsoft is big. Google is big. For cloud platforms, the thing that developers probably care the most about, Amazon is far and away the major player. I was at a cloud conference last week where there were lots and lots of cloud companies, lots of them. Amazon was discussed in almost every session. Amazon didn't even go to the conference. Mm-hmm. That's how big they are. They are such a major player in this space. They're far from alone, however. They, in essence, defined and created the cloud platform business, which is interesting, very creative company. But today, people like Microsoft are in this space in a big way. Many, many hosters are in this space because in a very real sense, cloud platforms are an extension of hosting we've seen before. So it's a rapidly growing space. Lots and lots of companies are here. More every day are entering the cloud platform space. And yet Amazon remains the major player in market share and in mind share.
Great. The other question I want to finish up with here is most of the Pluralsight subscribers are developers. That's our target audience. And one aspect of this course that you cover are private clouds. And I was curious if you might give us some perspective on why developers should care about private clouds. That it seems more like an IT issue than a developer issue. But I understand that you have motivation for including it in this course.
You're right. I talked about it because any kind of big picture, you want to paint the entire big picture. Nothing else is right. Even if part of it is not quite as relevant to what might be the primary core audience. At the same time, private clouds, which really is the idea of bringing cloud technology in your data center, lets you have some very nice things if you're a developer. One of the most important uses of cloud platforms, whether public ones like Amazon or private ones like private clouds, is to create a dev test environment with on-demand virtual machines. Hmm. Well, being able to do that more effectively inside my organization certainly helps developers, and private clouds can do that. Private clouds can help organizations create a dev test environment with VMs on demand that's much more effective than what they have today. So I think developers really ought to care about all these aspects of cloud computing, including private clouds.
Great. Well, thanks very much, David. I know I certainly gained a lot of insight in watching your course, and I hope everyone takes the time to watch it to gain similar insight. This is David Chappell with his new course, Cloud Computing, Seeing the Big Picture. Thanks again, David.
Thank you, Fritz. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. This course is available as part of our online training library, packed with courses on the latest technology. To view this course or any of our other videos, visit Pluralsight.com. There you can sign up for a subscription to meet your training needs or open a free trial account to get started. Hardcore developer training starts now at Pluralsight.com.